A lot of free agency got out of control pretty quickly, but a big day of moves here. Saquon to the Eagles, DeAndre Swift to the Bears, Josh Jacobs to the Packers, Aaron Jones to the Vikings, a whole lot more that we can talk. Jacoby Brissett to the Patriots. I don't know why that came to mind, but that was one that happened too. So what are the worst ADPs now with these free agent moves? The first big news drop we've had that actually has consequence that's going to affect ADPs. Let's find out. I'm of course already in a draft room, an underdog, 200K to first place in this one, and the usual free agents, rookies available in the draft, of course, and we've been trying to plan around it for a while, and I don't even know where to start with this one. Honestly, I could probably just do a roll call of all the players who move that are of note. I'm just going to read the Fantasy Life newsletter. Of course, it was Ian Harditz doing it, not our pal Pete Overzet, but we'll be... certainly a lot of names to note here. Josh Jacobs, a quote-unquote four-year deal. It's basically a one-year deal for him, getting paid, I think, just the franchise tag. So interesting to note here for most of these guys. Last year, the franchise tag was 13 mil. This year, basically every deal ended up being around 12-ish to 13 mil. So basically, teams just paid these guys around what the franchise tag was, but not even what the full franchise tag was. So still not a great cosign, even though you're seeing all these big running back values. Was not the great running back free agent contract renaissance that I think the Adam Schefters of the world, the agent puppet guys out there who want to make you think that, you know, whatever the agents are saying, they want these guys to report it and have the authority to make it seem like they're doing a great job. Running backs, even though they signed fast because they wanted to get as much money as possible, as fast as possible, and as much money as possible is not as much money as it was for everybody in the past. So one thing to keep in mind. The other thing, Saquon Barkley. So the big push here, the expectation why the Eagles went his direction was that they've seen teams like the Niners with Christian McCaffrey. I think this is Matt Harmon who put this theory out there, but I've seen a few other reporters out there talk about it as well, that they've seen the Lions push their chips in on Jahmyr Gibbs. And as a result, they think, hey, Saquon's our guy. I don't get it. The Eagles are a team that analytically we think is pretty sharp. We talked enough about Saquon in the past, and I'm going to do it again. I feel like I have to keep beating the drum because it just continues to blow my mind that people think Saquon is this elite talent as though it's 5 years ago. -0.2 EPA per rush, -0.2 EPA per pass, 11% avoided tackle rate. He's going to get a lot of volume. We know that, but not a great player. He's not going to be the guy I take at pick 9. The guy that I take at pick 9 will be Amon-Ra St. Brown at a slight discount. We saw Bijan Robinson going, I think a little bit of love coming Atlanta's way now that Kirk Cousins officially going to Atlanta. 4-year deal for him, gets another 100 mil guaranteed for himself. He's now made $440 million in contracts in the NFL, which is pretty crazy for Kirk, a guy who's like drafted as the backup to RG3 initially. So for him to have this run out for a contract, Kirk Cousins thriving here and going to get some nice Atlanta chains, I'm sure. Wow. Gesicki to the Bengals today. Interesting. So I did not see that one. Obviously, we're going to get some free agent signings here that break throughout the course of the stream. So probably not going to be as consequential ones, maybe as the ones we had yesterday. We need to keep talking about those. And there's a lot to talk about here, so I'm going to be jumping around even more than usual. Other free agents to note, Barkley of the Eagles, we talked about that. 3 years, $37.75 million. A little bit more of a guarantee for him than a Josh Jacobs. So good situation for Barkley getting that much money. Still think he's not that talented. Still think he's going to be losing those one-yard touchdowns. Probably not going to be terribly involved in the pass game either. Jalen Hurts has not created a good receiving running back in a while. So I don't get the move. I think it's an awful move. I think they could have saved a lot of money and gotten a comparable player. They went for the brand name. And once again, after last year, going to get DeAndre Swift, a Philly local guy. They don't get another Philly-ish local guy in Saquon Barkley, who played at Penn State, grew up, I think, an hour outside of Philly. It's very stupid, and it's also very Philly in a way that fucking drives me nuts about having to live here. One wide receiver is what we've taken so far. Nothing so far has upset Houston. Houston actually pretty quiet. They lost one of their defensive stars. Besides that, not much of note for them. I will be going Nico Collins way here in a zero RB build. All right, team so far, Amon-Ra, Nico Collins. Other free agents here, DeAndre Swift, Tony Pollard, going to the Bears and Titans respectively. Tony Pollard, very duplicative of a guy like Tyjae Spears. So not a good situation for Spears, but frankly, Pollard wasn't better than Spears last year. So I think it's kind of a break even for Spears in terms of just, you know, the assumption that he was going to get the role. I never fully assumed he was going to get the bell cow role. Thought he had a shot to be a lead back and probably a 15 touch capacity. Now we're probably looking at 8 to 12 for a guy like Tyjae, 15 to 18 for Tony Pollard, though there have already been some acknowledgments that Tony Pollard is going to be better if he has less touches on his body. So I think the situation overall for me with Tony Pollard, not the biggest believer. He took the money. That was the best contract offer he had, which, hey, he should do. Titans are going to be committed to running the ball, but now it's not. Neither guy, you know, echoes to a Joe Mixon, who was the guy that Brian Callahan's relied a lot, you know, on Cincinnati for the last few years. So I'm kind of confused by the move for the Titans really overall, but we do see Mixon in the pass get a lot of pass game work. So that could be something where you see a lot more pass game work going Pollard's way. But I kind of think that Pollard and Tyger are going to play similar roles, and really they end up playing like a lot more similar opportunity than people think. But we will see, of course, later in the draft if Tony Pollard's ADP comes up. DeAndre Swift to the Bears gets a 3-year deal. Again, probably the first contract you guys saw come along in the news alert. So definitely a priority signing for them. I still think he's going to run into the same issues. I don't think this means that Roshan is dead. I do think it could mean that Khalil Herbert gets cut, which would not be a great thing for him, especially at this point. But there are still a good amount of free agent jobs out there potentially for running backs. I don't think Khalil Herbert would get one of the best ones. But definitely something to keep an eye on there. Roshan, though, still probably a better goal line back than a DeAndre Swift is. With what Swift got paid, you'd expect him maybe to give him 20 touches a game, but it is still a situation for that team where Swift has now been in two places where they did not want to give him meaningful goal line work. Philadelphia didn't want to do it. Obviously, they had Jalen Hurts. And Detroit didn't want to do it because they'd rather give it to dusty old Jamal Williams. So I don't think it's the greatest cosign on DeAndre Swift's goal line ability. I'd still be willing to take a Roshan kind of like we did last year with Tyler Algier, where Algier paid off pretty well for his ADP going in the 150s to 160s range. That's probably where Roshan should go. He is still a young back. He still has upside. So I think that's perfectly a good pick to take once he falls in ADP. Don't take him where he's going right now. Drake London goes at pick 29 here. So Drake London, again, a big upgrade for him with Kirk Cousins. The thing that Crack Rock actually had reported, I would say, is he a former best baller now, but now he hangs out with NFL owners in some capacity. I don't know. You guys probably know more than I do, but did talk about how Arthur Blank was apparently at some rich guy golf club type gathering and was talking about how they wanted to try to make the Falcons more like Minnesota, to have Drake London be their Jefferson, to have Kyle Pitts be their Hockenson, and to have somebody, Bijan, be their Dalvin Cook. I'm trying to think like what it would be now, but I guess for Minnesota to be their Aaron Jones. The point being is they wanted to consolidate that offense more, actually see their star players get fed. That was a big choice of why they went with Kirk Cousins. So I think taking Drake London pick 29 works for me for sure. All right, we have Amon-Ra, Nico Collins, Malik Nabers, I still like here. ATN, we've seen enough of the bad signal. I don't know why his ADP hasn't dropped from the fact that they've outright said that they do want to use Tank Bigsby more next year after they kind of tried it and aborted it this past year. I'm going to go Malik Nabers here. Metcalf, I don't mind. Metcalf, though, the bad news for him is he's not going to get the extra bump that could have been possible if Tyler Lockett left. Tyler Lockett renegotiates for a 2-year deal, so that was one that we talked about yesterday a little bit. But for me, Metcalf, I think we can get him cheaper now because of the fact that Lockett is back. So I'm going to try to drive Metcalf down, even though I do think he should be getting the Romo Dunze treatment in terms of the opportunity. Also, I thought Nolan was already a member here, but Nolan, welcome to the family. OMG here on the screen. He's drafted the 7-hole, drafted fun young players. There, I'll put the hat on. I feel like I fucking have to put it on. Of course, if you join Splash Play, I have to embarrass my Italian ancestors by doing a vaguely racist stereotype of our people. But welcome to the family, Nolan. You do a great job, and you make me say, oh my God, as though I were Usher at a strip club grinding away. Oh my God, Nolan, thank you for your support. I'm so tired of being sick, guys. It's really that I feel like I haven't felt the pain of being sick on stream as much as doing the Italian voice, and I just have no steam for that with the sore throat and mucus carrying on. Travioli about to be buried by Avalanche. Travioli, one of our more enthusiastic newer drafters here, popping in every room I am in lately. So we'll see what he does. This is Breece Hall, Jonathan Taylor start. But as you can see, we in this room have 1, 2, 3 pure 0 RB starts going all wide receiver. We have some other here that haven't done running back either, but still have gone some heavy wide receiver. This one, 3 wide receivers. So a full Avalanche for sure in play for this one. Welcome to the family indeed. Welcome to the family indeed. Too many casual drafters unaware of the ETN FUD news. Well, I don't think there are any casual drafters at Underdog right now. If there are, I can't imagine they're more than 10%. I see the same names in every draft. Obviously, that's Splash Play. I get it. But like, it's badges in every draft. It's like, I don't think we are at the casual point of things. I was actually reading some Reddit thread yesterday where somebody was, it was the Barstool Reddit, talking about how Trill and Coley are doing another podcast over there. Of course, after having done one on Barstool and then had a show canceled by Underdog that made somebody have a mental breakdown. Let me make my pick and we can extrapolate on that. 0-0-3-0. We do have the T. Higgins potential upgrade. He could go somewhere else. He go back to Cincinnati and we could be perfectly happy with that. Amari Cooper, again, I still think needs to come down a little bit more because of the fact that Jerry Jeudy being there is not a great thing overall. I'm going to go T. Higgins here. Like, just having the out that T. Higgins could go to Carolina and get 10 targets a game is still something that matters to me. Point being, the Barstool people were talking about underdog and they were like, well, what's the point of underdog? Like, best ball people, what, play that for 2 weeks and they never do it? And that was like an upvoted comment with like 100 people replying or whatever and giving it votes. So I think a lot of people out there still view best balls like this very short frame of time thing. And frankly, maybe they should, because the best window to draft is going to be late August, where we're drafting teams here in January and February and March. But that's not plus EV. Like, the most plus EV time is when you know all the things. So I do think a lot of people out there still, like, especially the casuals, they are not even close to being in the world yet. And definitely not in the world like we are. We're doing drafts here every day. Of course, Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. here on Splash Play. But for all you guys out there, you probably are doing your own drafts every day, I assume. See, plenty of no. Well, also, no badges doesn't necessarily mean they're not regulars, too. But yeah, look, fair enough. Fair enough. But I think it's still, you are greatly overstating casual usage at this point, is what I would say. Maybe semi-casuals who like play DFS or something and then they play a little bit of best ball, but you're not getting like the guy who does an office league in March. I don't think that's very likely. 66 watching, 16 likes. Please hit it. Yes, I agree. Again, Splash Play is my jam here. It's the only thing I'm doing right now. And fucking A, man. Had an investor meeting for probably canceled this afternoon for reasons that were beyond our control. So I'm like, just, I'm going through it, man. It was up till 2 a.m. anxious last night. So your guys' support on here does matter a lot. Again, trying to grow Splash Play, showing up every day. I also show you what I'm going through. I am a startup founder. I've trying to get Splash Play off the ground at the same time. It's not easy, man. In addition to just prepping for football every day, being prepared to talk about the stuff intelligently, and also trying to do premium things for you guys. Still working on the SPAGs rankings in the background. Now that we have free agent moves, a lot of things are going to have to be changed there. So definitely a lot coming up here, and your support does matter a lot here. So you as an individual person, really, especially for a channel this size, you hitting the like button, and even if you fucking hate the stream, you think I'm an asshole, just don't hit the dislike button. Like, those things help me out a lot here in this journey to build a sustainable ecosystem for myself. Put in the work, right? You put in the work, eventually it pays off. That's the hope of best ball. It's the hope of everything we do. Teams around here, nobody really doing anything that interesting. Romo Dunze, wide receiver one for Travioli. Bold move. Bold move, Cotton. Let's see if it works out. Because of the dominance of zero RB and the influx of good wide receiver talent in the later rounds of the draft, the board is really shaping up to create incredibly strong, hyper-fragile drafts. You're saying for running back? I mean, that's the thesis, I think, that I've been comfortable with all along. Top seven at running back's really good. Especially too, the Rams, by the way, Kyren Williams, they have invested in more big bodies up front for the Rams. They want to run the ball. Definitely possible. They still take somebody, I think, to ease the burden on Kyren a little bit, but Kyren's going to be a bell cow and he's going to get you probably 20 touches and 2 to 4 red zone touches. So to me, Kyren, again, still undervalued to pick 14 with the fact that he was probably the best pure rusher in the NFL last year, besides like a Keaton Mitchell in a small sample size. Zach Moss is smashed now. Yeah, he's been a guy that we've been taking a little bit here in the hopes that he would get a good run out as a potential cheaper signing, and he got it for the Bengals. He's a better version of Joe Mixon, I think. A little bit less good in the pass game, which is a good sign for Chase Brown, but both Zach Moss and Chase Brown have utility. Both guys, I think, a little bit undervalued for their ADPs. 0-0-4-0 is what we have going here. Really not that excited about this pocket. A little bit excited about the idea of Brian Thomas Jr., though. You can make the case I could have taken a Pacheco here. I mean, at this point, Pacheco has held off some of the free agent signings that could have really dinged him, Eckler being one in particular. And I didn't finish reading the free agent stuff, so other free agent signings. Devin Singletary to the Giants. I don't really like that move very much. Singletary took the payday, though. He had to do it. Best move for him would be go back to Houston, but, you know, that is what it is. Also, Eckler goes to the Commanders. Don't really get that one. Definitely a team that's going to pound the rock. They've talked positively about Brian Robinson. Eckler, you'd assume, gets some pass game work as well as potentially a shot to steal goal line work. I don't like the fit, though. I think that's kind of a weird move, and I'm surprised Eckler didn't wait for a better situation or more money. But again, these guys are worried about getting musical chaired out of any contract. So I get why they kind of ran to the podium. Antonio Gibson of the Patriots does nothing for me, but it does hurt Ramondre. Ramondre should probably come down to the 100 range, I would think. He's still probably going to be the lead back, probably still going to get the goal line work, but Gibson's going to take the PPR points away, which matter more on DraftKings and underdog, but still half point PPR for Ramondre. Like, he's going to have no floor if that team isn't passable on offense. So Gibson to me, probably underdrafted right now in the late 190s, but not a sexy play. Zach Moss's ADP was, we took him yesterday in the 170s. He overall was going in the 157 range. Probably has to come up to the 140. No, that's low. He's probably coming up to the 110s, and I would think Chase Brown maybe settles around that same range, kind of a Roshan Khalil Herbert pairing, but a little bit higher, I think would be the guess there. But let's make our pick here. We'll talk about the rest of the free agent signings as we go. 0050, we do need a running back, and the ones that we passed up are still here. So I think that works pretty well. I'm going to go, I'm not a big Kenneth Walker guy, but I am going to go, Kenneth Walker. Ambiguous backfield, but we're getting Kenneth Walker 11 picks after ADP, so a mild value hounding there. Team so far went 0 RB to start with Amon-Ra St. Brown, Nico Collins, Malik Nabers, T. Higgins, and Brian Thomas Jr. The LSU teammates reunited only on this one squad on Splash Play. Kenneth Walker, our running back, that is our team through six rounds so far. Sure seems like Jaden trending to Washington, made in New England, or trade up like Las Vegas or Minnesota. What's making you say that? I feel like I've felt the opposite way in general. But I don't know. Maybe you saw something I haven't seen. Don't think there are any sure things. Legendary Upside is real. Yes, it is real. It's a real YouTube channel, a real website. Can confirm that. Spags is rookie fetish. I took two great rookies one of them tested really well at the combine. I don't have a rookie fetish. I have vets around them. Took Kenneth Walker too. Rookie fetish. I'll rookie fetish you. Shout out AR. Sorry, Spags, ahead of time. Yeah, AR goes 52 to chunk the deuce. There you go. No issue there. He was not part of my portfolio here. Not what I was expecting to get anyway. Drake May will win offensive rookie of the year. He's swimming uphill there. It's possible, I guess, if he lands on the team with the best weapons. If he goes to Washington, probably the best shot, I would guess, because they're going to run the ball pretty well. He has McLaurin there. He's got weapons around him. I would imagine they're going to do something at tight end to make that a little bit better as well. I think there's a shot, but Caleb's going to be naturally better. Chicago's also really planning around him, you could tell. Big money at running back, probably a draft addition at wide receiver as well. They have Cole Kmet. They paid him big last year. They got DJ Moore. That team is set up for Caleb Williams to come in and throw for 4,000, 5,000 yards. And I think he can do it as long as he can stay healthy, and he's not going to run as much as the other guys. So I think that is one that I would be perfectly okay with. But I think in terms of rookie of the year, it's Jaden Daniels. The running ability, going to be there a little bit more reliably. We talked about it a lot in the show, but Drake May stopped running the year before the draft, was running a lot more the year before last, probably because he could set and said, hey, I got to keep myself safe for this contract. Jaden Daniels went balls to the wall, ran over 10 times a game. Even Caleb Williams ran 7 times a game last year, just under that. So these guys, I think, you know, I'm a little more into Caleb and Jaden Daniels based on the analytics and the will, I think. Drake May kind of got lazy and just did deep balls last year, which is okay. That's still positive for fantasy, but I don't know. He's my least favorite of the big three, but you guys probably know that at this point. After yesterday, what running back will start my 0 RB range? I wouldn't hate Aaron Jones doing it, though. Aaron Jones really got to have some questions about Minnesota's offense moving forward, just because of the fact that, like, we don't know what they're going to do at QB, and now they are kind of losing. I mean, they're going to do Sam Darnold, I guess, to start the year, but I just don't know if they draft JJ McCarthy. I don't think Darnold holds off JJ McCarthy the entire year. So that could be a not great run out for Aaron Jones, though. Darnold did lead to McCaffrey some of his best years, so you could see some meaningful checkdowns for Jones. They still have Ty Chandler. They like Ty Chandler, so I think that kind of hurts the Jones workload. If I had to guess, I think Aaron Jones becomes kind of a one-to-one with what he was in Green Bay the last few years, where probably still a very efficient player, probably still very good, probably still the one you want to see on the field, but they can't keep him on the field quite as long. Travioli, this is how bad it is for Travioli. Pick 80 for Deontay Johnson is not what you want to be doing at this point in the draft. So that was not the right way for him to handle his various pockets. We need running backs. Spears obviously going the wrong way. Tony Pollard theoretically coming up here. No other obvious correlations. We are going to take Tony Pollard with his fat new contract. I do not like that one. Do not like that one. Again, he started running less, though. Like, I don't want guys that are going to make business decisions on running. And maybe that'll change in the NFL, but if he's a guy that's making a business decision based on the running for the most part in, like, his last year in college, he's going to make a decision about his entire rookie contract, too, to some extent. Like, he's still going to run here and there, and I'm sure it'll be okay. But he wasn't as good of a runner as Jaden Daniels anyway. Like, I don't know. Drake May's fine. Like, he's an okay prospect. I don't want to sound like I'm down on him necessarily, but, like, he's not as good as Jaden Daniels, and he's definitely not as good as Caleb Williams in terms of being a pocket passer. He's just a willing deep ball thrower who should be running more. If he were level from his second to last year and his last year, I'd be a little more into that. But, you know, guys change their habits over the course of time, and guys who, you know, unfortunately, who are, like, being the smartest about maximizing their financial potential, they might not run as much, and he actively did that. Mixon to the Texans. That's a big one. That is a big one. I kind of thought the Ravens were a sneaky candidate to steal Mixon away. Don't know you want Mixon in your locker room, to be honest. But yeah, Henry to the Ravens seems impossible. I would agree. Man, that's crazy. Yeah, Bears are the only team in the NFL that's never had a 4,000-yard passer. It's got to happen at some point. It's not like there's, you know, a gravitational force that's keeping them from doing it. It's their own ineptitude in terms of generating talent and you know, rearing it in the right way. And at a certain point, they're going to get that right. All right, so we got Walker, Pollard. I really don't know that Eckler is a better pick than Brian Robinson. Kind of think that Brian Robinson, a better sledgehammer back. They did pay Eckler decently, though. He's going to get used. Oh, man. Not my favorite. I'll take Eckler. I guess we're just scooping up the free agent guys that I find passable at this point. So, teams so far, we have Kenneth Walker, Tony Pollard, Austin Eckler, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Nico Collins, Malik Nabers, T. Higgins, and Brian Thomas Jr. is our team so far. And Mixon, you could see, excitedly taken by Don't Impede My Status at pick 87. I'm sure hearing that news item on social media. Yeah, they said they did announce that they had cut Mixon, but it's possible that they hadn't actually filed it, and then now they're trading him because the Texans came in and said, hey, we would trade for him. But I find that hard to believe that the Texans, like, they have so much cap room, maybe. But, like, if you're trading for Mixon, you have to pay him 10 mil, whereas if you let the Bengals cut him, you're probably getting him for, like, 5. So that seems kind of stupid. Pocket pass like Drake May shouldn't look to run. It's just nice he has ability. I don't know why you think he's, like, a great pocket passer. He was less efficient than the other guys by pretty wide margins last year. Again, he's just a willing downfield thrower, which is a good skill to have. Let's see. Let's look at his numbers. So a pocket passer like Drake May, 61% on target rate for Drake May would be the worst out of every rookie on my sheet. That includes guys like Cam Rising, Will Howard, Jordan Travis, Quinn Ewers, Sam Hartman, Devin Leary, Penix. So if you're pocket passer as a 61% on target rate, he shouldn't be a pocket passer. And end of story. Like, that's like a Jake, our guy Felix compared Bo Nix, who couldn't be less Jake Locker, but compared him to Jake Locker. Drake May, that completion numbers, the catchable ball rate, 76.5%. We're talking, like, AR level, Jake Locker level. So that, like, that's your pocket passer. It's not good. Not a good pocket passer. He's at his best being Josh Allen. Bootleg Josh Allen. But, like, that's an egregiously bad catchable ball rate on target rate. For comparison's sake, too, because I always should do that, Jaden Daniels, 74% on target rate, 85% catchable ball rate. J.J. McCarthy, 86% catchable ball rate, 73% on target rate. Bo Nix, 77% on target, 88% catchable ball rate. Caleb Williams, on target lower than you'd like to see, 67%, but again, still much higher than Drake May, and 79% catchable ball rate. Drake May regressed in every possible way this year. Like, he wasn't as good. The only thing he did was just chuck it, which is fine because we like that for fantasy. In terms of real life football, egregious. I don't think that's true. May's still QB3. He's just, like, he's QB3 to me. I think he's an obvious QB3. But we'll see. The Commanders may disagree. And he's younger than Daniels, too. So he's got that. Texans got zero RBs they won yesterday. Trading means they don't get spag sniped again. Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, I think they also could have been doing the smart thing and just waiting for the price tag to come where they want it to go. And I think that would be a logical thing to do, but perhaps not. Perhaps not. Pick coming up here once Travioli figures out what's going on in his life. This is the worst five wide receivers ever. He does take Chase Brown, who I would have been happy to take here, which is fine. I'll go Javonte for RB4. Got to figure out wide QB at some point, but we're doing it. Four running backs, five wide receivers so far. Kenneth Walker, Tony Pollard, Austin Eckler, Javonte Williams. For Pollard and Eckler, I think they come up a little bit in ADPs for their free agent landing spots, but probably not a lot. I think it's just they're going to go somewhere because people know they're going to go somewhere. Javonte Williams, obviously nothing has changed for Denver at all. Denver, eerily quiet besides Jerry Jeudy trade. Washington, we'll see what happens with Eckler, but obviously that's the running back room. Wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Nico Collins, Malik Nabers, T. Higgins, and Brian Thomas Jr. I don't hate it. I think we got a pretty deep running back room. This is probably your best shot to get a deep running back room right now because just the certainty of these guys going somewhere is going to drive their ADPs up. We saw, again, Derrick Henry hasn't signed. He goes 10 picks after ADP. That's how it goes. Troy Franklin went to pick 90 here. I'd say a reasonable pick by OMG. For all of you guys out there who do Troy Franklin watch, a reasonable spot for Troy Franklin today. 11-19 as a starter. Wins are a team stat, but it's not great. Patrick Holmes did not suck at football in college. His team did, though. Wait, where did this one come up? Oh, this is what Jeff was saying. Look, yeah. Debates in the chat, as always. Glad to see him. Caleb Williams goes pick 109 here. Solid pick. I have no beef with it. See a couple interesting things on the board that we could do. One of them just went, I was willing to take Trey Benson as my RB5 here, especially given the vet glut that we have overall. Ty Chandler definitely going to be going down. Not a guy I would reach for here at running back. Justin Fields, again, the job status. Seems like the Raiders chose Gardner Minshew over him. Not a good thing for Justin Fields. Do you think Justin Fields would not be the kind of QB Sean Payton theoretically wants, but maybe live for Denver just because they have to get somebody there. And at this point, the cost is coming down. I'm going to take Jared Goff, though. We took Amon-Ra round one. We'll take Jared Goff along for the ride with Amon-Ra and hopefully figure out some better players on the way back. Jared Goff at QB, Kenneth Walker, Tony Pollard, Austin Eckler, Javonte Williams at running back, wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Nico Collins, Malik Nabers, T. Higgins, and Brian Thomas Jr. And he Disley love when punting tight end. They brought him. Wait, so Disley is going to, he's going to the Chargers, right? No, fucking the other one's going to the Chargers. Where's Disley going? No, Disley's going to the Chargers. Where's Colby Parkinson going? Because Colby signed somewhere too, right? Rams. Okay. Rams are going. So yeah, more of a blocking move than anything. All the Rams moves so far have been meant to shore up the blocking. So Disley's okay. Like Disley's biggest skill as a tight end is just ruining other guys' good passing days and occasionally maybe having like one spike week a year. So Disley, he's kind of like Josh Oliver was last year, where you could talk me into taking one or two. But if I had to guess, I think they upgrade that position. I think they add a rookie. So Disley's, yeah, Disley's okay. It's that offense is not going to pass a lot. And Disley is already not a high target earner. So, like, what's he going to do, really? Where will Gesicki get steamed up to? Gesicki paid nothing. He's getting paid nothing. He's definitely an upgrade on Tanner Hudson. He's a better version of Tanner Hudson in terms of being a pass catcher. So, I don't know. Jane Daniels goes 118. Was hoping that he would come back to me so I could talk myself into some logic as to where he's going to go and taking him there. But Jane Daniels at 118, still a great pick to me. And still one of the most undervalued picks probably overall. Brissett to New England on a backup level contract, though. Probably still means New England taking a top three QB. Or maybe a Bo Nix, Spencer Rattler type, end of the first round, second round somewhere maybe. But I think New England brings in a rookie. Brissett competes with the rookie. If the rookie's good, Brissett's the backup. If the rookie's not good, Brissett gets a shot to hold on to the job while the rookie comes along and maybe doesn't ever come along. Battle between O'Connell and Minshew for Las Vegas QB is so mid. Yeah, I mean, it's honestly wouldn't be a shocker if O'Connell could win the job just because he at least forced the ball downfield a little bit more aggressively. I'm happy for Minshew getting another contract. Thought he did the best he could holding down the fort for the Colts, even though he was like a very obvious downgrade, you know, for the ceiling of that team last year. For Minshew, though, I don't know. I'm not that mad at it. But then last year, Brissett got 12 mil guaranteed and Howell won the starting job. I know it's a difference of 3 million, but it's close enough that I wouldn't say that for sure. Especially with a guy like Antonio Pierce. Don't be the kind of guy that's going to reward the guys in the locker room, I think, who backed him. Obviously, you know, it's going to come down to talent. Like, if Minshew's world's better than O'Connell, Minshew's going to win the job. But if they give it 1-1, I just wouldn't rule out O'Connell there. I wouldn't feel great taking either guy, to be honest. If you're going to give the assignment, though, just like feeding Davante Adams and not fucking up the defense, like, Minshew's probably the guy you'd want more. If you want to have an actual, you know, upside potential, you play the younger guy and hope they can get there. But Aiden O'Connell, I don't think has a ton of upside. Other signings, Gus Edwards to the Chargers. I have to give our guy Tyler, of course, the emo cowboy, his flowers there. A couple of weeks ago, we debated Kenneth Gainwell. Kenneth Gainwell versus Gus Edwards. I don't think Kenny Pickett versus Gus Edwards. I guess it would be a debate. I don't know how it would make the most sense. But Gus Edwards getting the spot as the goal line back potentially for the Chargers. Probably going to bring somebody else in, but that is a nice role for a power-dominant offense. Gus Edwards relative to ADP and where he's going to free agency. Not a great contract, only like $3.5 million guaranteed, but that's cheap enough too that he could just get there out of inertia. So if he doesn't get unseated right now, Gus Edwards is a pretty nice pick. 1450 here is the situation. Oof, we could use a tight end. And I still like Luke Musgrave. Think he's a little bit undervalued. I'm going to go Luke Musgrave here to get my first tight end off the board. No correlation for me, but Musgrave, I just think, breaks out next year. Another year of experience. Jordan loves growth. Now a meaningful running back threat who's hopefully going to be healthy and able to be in there. Even though Jacobs, again, really was much worse this past year than he was the year before last, where he was actually avoiding tackles, creating value after the tackle. This past year, Josh Jacobs was at a negative 0.15 EPA per rush, negative 0.06 EPA per pass. 12% avoided tackle rate is like a third of where he was the year before last. Jacobs doesn't have a lot of juice left, personally, is my belief. But I would say in this offense, it's such a good offense, and Jordan Love's going to be ascendant. And those wide receivers getting older, getting more experience, are going to be ascendant. That Josh Jacobs is just luck box and probably the best spot for him, as long as he can keep being this half-assedly good. Marvin Mims, one guy who I feel like hasn't taken a huge ADP leap upwards. I guess it's come up a couple dozen spots, but I think should be going closer to Josh Downs right now. Marvin Mims was directly said at the combine by Sean Payton that he's basically was being blocked by Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Judy's gone now. There's nothing blocking Marvin Mims from getting on the field. Mims is also pretty efficient last year in terms of what he did. Let's confirm that though. 0.22 EPA per target, only a 15% target route run rate is not great, but did get targeted a lot downfield and would expect that to level out a little bit more with some of those Jeudy routes. To me, I think that with the upside and with the role right now, assuming that they don't bring in somebody else, or if they do bring in somebody else, it's like because they got rid of Sutton. Mims, to me, I think is a really strong play. It's him and Tim Patrick most likely there right now, and then you got to assume they add somebody in the draft. Henry has to go to Dallas, right? Baltimore has been the pick for a while. I think it's Baltimore, but we'll see. Baltimore was in on somebody. I forget who it was, but did not go that way. 1-4-5-1 here. QB getting kind of bled out. Well, you know what? No, I still need I think I need a fifth running back more than I need. I'm going to take Drake May. God damn it. After I land on a credible reason to not like Drake May that much after Al pushed my buttons and made me look up numbers. Again, Drake May for fantasy, though, I think has real issues at QB in terms of like, that's a really low like catchable ball rate, a really low on target rate. Not a great sign. What he does have going for him does Drake May. 16.7% deep throw rate, throws to 20 plus air yards, only a 0.7 EPA there. So by comparison, Caleb Williams, 1.3 EPA per target. Jaden Daniels, 1.6 EPA per target downfield. Those guys are roughly 2 to almost 3x better of a downfield passer than Drake May. But the willingness to do it is the key stat. And again, for Drake May as a rusher, he was a 0.5 EPA per rush guy, but was down to only 6.8 rushes a game. So expect him as a pro to run like Josh Allen when we were really frustrated that Josh Allen didn't run enough in games early last year. That would be my expectation for Drake May. Fields looking like this year's Trey Lance, probably going to be a backup somewhere. I don't get, like, you know, again, I think for the offense that Minnesota runs, I get why you go Sam Darnold. And Sam Darnold, the last stretch that he had when he was the Panthers starter was actively pretty good. Like, I know people are going to be like, no, it's not correct. I remember it vividly because I remember talking to our Football Outsiders guys back in the day about that. And, like, the six games that Sam Darnold had to close out that Panther season were, like, one of the top DVOA performances by QB ever. And you know, like, does it matter for everything? No. Is it small sample size? Blah, blah, blah. Like, Darnold has been a lot of good stops now, learning from a lot of good guys. He's bros with Josh McCown, who's now going to be his offensive coordinator or QB coach. I forget what the title is. But for, you know, for Sam Darnold, like, this is a pretty good run out for him, getting Justin Jefferson, getting Jordan Addison, getting Hockenson, hopefully at some point next year, probably not a lot of it, but at some point, getting a good running game going with Aaron Jones. And Darnold, again, fed McCaffrey well in Carolina, so the Aaron Jones checkdown should be there, or Ty Chandler ones if Jones gets hurt. Jefferson, we know, can do a lot with 10 mediocre targets, and Darnold is better than mediocre, I think. I think he's like an actual pro QB. So I don't know, man. I think the Minnesota thing, people are not going to flock to it. There's the risk they bring in J.J. McCarthy, and McCarthy starts at some point. But I think that for right now, I'd be pretty okay if I get Jefferson, take Darnold in the, what, the 18th, 19th? Right now, Darnold's got an undrafted ADP at 239, basically. So I think Darnold should be getting drafted if you have Vikings. I would take that flyer as a QB3. Wouldn't do him in a two QB build. The thing with like the Cowboys this year apparently is that they're really trying to stick to the thing of that that championship to won in the draft in April. Basically, this is what the beat reporter from the I forget which one it was, but one of the Cowboys beat reporters was saying is basically like clearly a thing the team is feeding him to be putting out there. Again, this is how this all the shit works, which you guys know hopefully by this point. But the Cowboys, you know, like not overspending in free agency and all that. Not that they have a lot of cap room anyway because of the Dak extension looming over them. They don't have a lot of flexibility. But this is a good sign for them to not do that. Like, they had a good team last year. You don't need to go swing right away. They don't need DeAndre Swift. Like, if they get Rico Dowdle and Jonathan Brooks, people like going there, I think that would be an okay one. Obviously, with the knee risk, we'll see how that would affect his ramp up. Audric Estime, if he goes to Dallas, he'd be a fucking monster. If Bucky Irving and his 3.5 RAS go to Dallas, they would figure it out for him too. So, for Dallas, there's still a lot of outs there, and just because he didn't do anything, I don't think is a bad sign. 2-4-5-1. At a certain point, we do need to get some more wide receivers, but I think for me, Michael Mayer's gonna be well targeted, I would think, by Gardner Minshew next year. I don't believe Austin Hooper is under contract, but even if he is, Mayer did start to pass him last year. Let me make sure of that. Yeah, Austin Hooper, a free agent. So Michael Mayer to me, I think actually quietly got a pretty nice upgrade. If it's O'Connell coming back, fine. You know, if O'Connell can win that job, that probably means he improved meaningfully. If it's Minshew coming in there, Minshew's going to love checking down him a lot. Obviously, a lot more targets going to be going DeAndre Hopkins' way. It's going to be goal number one, but that's it. Moody to the Falcons, his stock up. Yeah, I mean, no. His stock up a little bit, but I wouldn't lock in that he's going to be like wide receiver two getting meaningful work. Definitely possible he's in the hunt there, but if I'm the Falcons and you have this draft class, I would take a flyer on a rookie at wide receiver two, and any of the rookies they take who are downfield threats, even if it's like a Roman Wilson tear, even if it's a Ladd McConkey tier, those guys are all better than Darnell Mooney. I would not overreact to that. I wouldn't overreact to Mooney anywhere unless he was paid a lot more money than I would expect. If he was paid Gabe Davis money, it's something. I imagine he signed. I'm doing the stream right now. I imagine he signed for like what, 2-3 mil, maybe a little bit more because he's a wide receiver. Gus Edwards going to 157, probably a fair price tag for him. Nice little run for Alex P. Keaton here. I like the value that he took on Tyjae Spears. Also think they're getting Zach Moss here. Not a big Jaleel McLaughlin guy, but at 156, not a bad price tag. Gus Edwards, Zach Moss, definitely two of the free agent winners right now in terms of where they were previously going. And Gus seems like up 50 spots already in ADP. So there we go. Jay, I appreciate you, man. Your enthusiasm brings me a lot of joy that you are reading this very incorrectly. 2452. See what we got to do here. We need more wide receivers. And honestly, do you think Wandale undervalued as a wide receiver? The concern for him is going to losing some of those overall reps to Jalin Hyatt, supposedly going to play out of the slot a little bit more. 3 years, $39 million. But again, it's not guaranteed money. It's probably like 1 year guaranteed for 13. That's a lot for Mooney. I'll give you that. It's a lot for Mooney, but I still wouldn't think it's everything. That's a baffling fucking contract for Mooney. Mooney was so actively bad last year. He was good the year before last, so maybe they're just going to throw Justin Fields under the bus. But that's like overpaying for somebody just because you got just to do it. Okay, I don't. I hope Adam's reports are correct here. That's way too much money for Mooney. Like that's what Ridley should be getting, honestly, based on how Ridley played last year. Whatever. I mean, look, you get the new QB in. I think things start looking a little more fun. You want to spend some money, but that's, I don't know, man. That's the kind of contract that, like, if they, again, they could draft literally any rookie in this class. They could draft A.D. Mitchell. They could draft Xavier Worthy. They could draft McConkey. I'm just going to name names that I would say are better players than Darnell Mooney right now. Hold on. I'm loading my sheet here so I can just spout off wide receivers. So they could draft Marvin Harrison. They could draft Romo Dunze. They could draft Malik Nabers. Keon Coleman, lateral move. They could draft Malik Washington. They could draft Adonai Mitchell. They could draft Malachi Corley. Not a downfield guy. I guess I would take Mooney over him. They could draft Xavier Worthy. They could draft Ladd McConkey. They could draft Troy Franklin. They could draft Johnny Wilson. They could draft Xavier Leggett. They could draft Brian Thomas. They could draft Jalen Polk. They could draft Taj Washington. They could draft Tez Walker. They could draft Brendan Rice. They could draft Roman Wilson. They could draft Ricky Pearsall. All those guys are better than Darnell Mooney right now. Stupid signing. Still wouldn't overreact to it, though, personally. Where is Fields going to end up? I still think Denver's live. I think the thing with Sean with Sean Payton in general is that, like, so he, remember the Taysom Hill thing? Like, isn't Justin Fields just Taysom Hill? Maybe, I mean, there probably aren't even that different in accuracy stats. So isn't literally just like, aren't they the same play? Why is he not going after Justin Fields? It kind of confuses me. Obviously, historically, in his actual QB, like, Sean Payton wants a guy who's going to keep the machine running, going to hit those check downs, going to keep some short throws in there. So that's why Bo Nix has been the one that has made the most sense to me overall for them. And frankly, a Darnold might have made sense as well. You know, a QB with some experience who can get the timing down and be good at that stuff. But Bo Nix is basically like a veteran QB coming in as a rookie. He's just, you know, not the most exciting, but he knows an offense. He ran Oregon beautifully last year. And again, threw a lot of catchable balls, a lot of on-target balls. That's what Sean Payton likes. So I get that, but, like, I don't know. Like, Justin Fields, you could maybe save him. And honestly, at this point, I guess, well, if they did get Fields and then they salvage Fields, then they're paying a lot of money at QB with the Russ fucked up contract and then with Fields if they had to pay him. So I guess that would be the one team thing, because when you are talking about team moves, this has been something that I've seen people post a lot about on Twitter that people sometimes miss. It's not about just the 1v1 of like Justin Fields versus Bo Nix or even versus like a Jarrett Stidham. It's about what does it take to get Justin Fields versus what does it take to get Bo Nix versus what does it take to just keep Jarrett Stidham. And is the upgrade for those guys worth the upgrade over Jarrett Stidham? You know, that's the stuff that might be an issue. This is, all right, if you're talking about Mooney, this is one of the worst takes. Did Addison even hit 1,000 yards last year? And Addison is unequivocally a better player than Mooney. 2462. I mean, Herbert going for free at this point, I don't think is a bad pick. Really, wide receiver is just a disaster. I'm going to take Herbert. Again, think he gets released. And he's got enough juice as a runner that I'll take that flyer at 177 when the alternative is Eli Mitchell. No, he's not. He's not anymore. He was the year before last. This year, everything went to shit for him. When there was an actual receiver out there to be a wide receiver one, he wasn't even able to earn targets at all when he wasn't there. I didn't know we had a Darnell Mooney hive, but he's objectively was, especially as a downfield receiver, So, all right, Darnell Washington, don't want to look at his numbers. Darnell Mooney, a negative 0.16 EPA for target. And that's with an A dot of 11 yards per target. It's like you're talking about a guy who's getting throws past the sticks on every target, and he still was not a positive EPA receiver. When basically, if you catch a ball 11 yards downfield with enough frequency, you're going to be a positive receiver because of the fact you're advancing and creating another set of downs. It's like the fact that he wasn't, and that's his average, is like a really bad sign. But again, if you want to blame Fields for that, I get it. But like, really, the guys who benefit in Atlanta are 1, 2, 3. It's London, it's Pitts, it's Bijan. That's it. Like, and maybe Algier is like a 1C to that. But like, even then, probably not that much in this offense. Dude, get the fuck out of here. What, like, don't fucking come into my channel. Here, be one of the fucking losers who downvotes videos. You're a fucking nobody, and you gave a bad take, and I corrected you. Sorry, you're stupid. 2562. I'm a victim of my own success. And by the way, Mooney fans, that's your fucking guy. That's your peer who you'll never see on Splash Play again. What a fucking idiot, man. Like, you give somebody numbers and they lash out. Like, just fucking quit it. Just quit it. This is why, guys, like, I'm forever going to be stuck getting fucking 500 views a video, because I would rather fucking not have people like that watch a single thing I do. Like, if you're just going to be a willful idiot who then lashes out and probably has like real serious anger issues if you're lashing out at me, like, I'm just a person who doesn't care about you past making 1 minute of content. But like, you know, it's just like, I just don't need it. I just don't need it. Oh, God. Man for life, you're pushing it, bud. What if Fields is bad because Darnell Mooney is absolute dog shit? Possibility. But yeah, Mooney just, like, I remember, and I particularly find Mooney to be an egregious thing because, like, he was good the year before last. You know, he was good the year before last because, like, he was the top target. Like, that was it, which is not a great sign. Yes, I think you guys specifically should chase Mooney. I think that guy Miles here, I'm sure he's going to have a great time bringing a lot of value to other draft streams. He can go draft Mooney in the fifth round, and I think he should go for it. As a stupid nobody, I love Splash, but thank God. That's all I can ever ask. Yeah, if you're a stupid nobody here, and you're at least like slightly less toxic than that dude, please hit the journey, hit the join button, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, come along for the ride here. But really, if you're going to be a dick, just like don't, I guess, like really, don't click the stream. Just go away. Fucking A, man. Yeah, now it's like the Fight Club scene where everybody's a stupid nobody. We are all Miles. He's not like Miles, by the way. Coolest Miles, obviously Miles Davis. You know, I think we could go with that. I'd rather have Tails from Sonic the Hedgehog. Rather have Miles Teller. Rather have Darius Miles. Stupid squirts. Thank you. Yes, that's, you all support the stupid nobodies. You're all stupid nobodies. This is how I patrol the room. What? This is what I do. This is how I keep things clean. If I don't protect this community, who will? Atlanta really paid $26 million guaranteed. Yeah, look, you know. Again, it's really just that the drunk enthusiasm of finally having a QB, having your new Matt Ryan. And frankly, you know, is Kirk Cousins a little bit better than Matt Ryan in terms of his ability to create value for an offense? I think so. Is Kirk Cousins going to make a Super Bowl for Atlanta? A little bit less sure about that. But I think for Kirk, you know, for the fantasy output, you know, you have to keep in mind, this is an older guy coming off an Achilles tear. And we did just see, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Achilles tear, old guy, maybe a little more risk in the situation than I think we're accounting for. But I get the enthusiasm. I'm excited for Atlanta. They hired the right coaches. They brought in good guys to get the most out of these talents that they've invested so much at high draft capital skill positions. So they did the thing. Falcons, it doesn't mean anything now. They have a new team. But I mean, there's still a good shot they like to run the ball because they're bringing Rams principles over. And the Rams do want to run the ball. They want to have a run game that sets up the pass game and a pass game that sets up the run game, which is what good teams do. So if they do it the right way, then it'll be good. But I still just don't think it's going to lead to, like, you know, the Darnell Mooney renaissance. This is what happens in free agency. You end up talking yourself into Darnell Mooney. I get it. All right, we made the bet on two Giants, so we are just going to take Daniel Jones as QB3 here. Not the most fun pick, but is still a guy that can't escape the pup list, and the Giants likely contractually tied to him. I don't know. Not the most fun pick for sure, but Daniel Jones, when you have Jalen Hyatt, when you have Wandale Robinson, in a 20-round draft, QB3, that works. Sick chat. What? I'm glad free agency's going on. We're getting lots of great minds in chat again. We've been having a lot. I know, guys, we've been having a lot of fun talking about different players, analyzing different takes, but now we're getting chats like that. Now we're getting Darnell Mooney enthusiasts and chats like that. Boy, I'm in heaven doing drafts every day. Chunk the Deuce says he fell apart this draft. Too many hits this morning, I think. Hopefully it doesn't show in my umpiring later. Oh, you better call those balls and strikes correctly, my friend. Jay, you draft good teams. You need to workshop the take game a little bit more, Jay. I appreciate it. Jay's for what it's worth, has been sending me his screenshots. I think does a lot, good job in a lot of drafts. I don't get it. Where'd Saquon go in the draft? He went at pick 22. So basically where he's been going all along. Don't think he's going to come up, but I think he more reliably goes here to here instead of the few times where you've seen him go in the third round. One time on the stream, we did see him go and pick 43. Don't think that'll happen anymore, even though it probably should, given that a reminder, last year DeAndre Swift was going in the 70s, 80s, 90s. And I don't think they're different plays. I think they're very similar plays. 3-5-7-2 here. Well, for right now, Justice Hill, the only running back in Baltimore still who is healthy and able to go in week one. So we're going to take Keaton Mitchell for one more share. 3-6-7-2. Two more picks to make. Jared Goff, Drake May, Daniel Jones at running back, Kenneth Walker, Tony Pollard, Austin Eckler, Javonte Williams, Khalil Herbert, and Justice Hill. Obviously, I like the base of the top four. These two guys were just values. It's really not a great running back room in that back part. Wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Nico Collins, Malik Nabers, T. Higgins, Brian Thomas Jr., Wandale Robinson, Jalen Hyatt, and a tight end, Luke Musgrave and Michael Mayer. Might need a third tight end. Probably could use a seventh running back. Don't think we need a fourth QB. Yeah, I like the wide receivers. Like the early start at running back. Don't hate tight end, but draft could have been better. Want to bet my guy tight end doesn't make it back to me. We'll see. There's now, you know, got Yoshivis going earlier. We'll figure it out. But there are a lot of guys who are friends and family here who might enjoy a certain tight end. It was a rookie that I enjoy. Yeah, if you want to put that into context, Mooney just earned $1.25 million per reception he had last year. The biggest thing for Mooney to me, too, is like, whatever you want to say about Justin Fields, and again, the real life parts of it, I get being critical of that. But like Justin Fields did create spike weeks multiple times for Cole Kmet, did create outlandish spike weeks multiple times for DJ Moore. Where was the spike week for Darnell Mooney? Like where was the upside at all? But who knows? Maybe Kirk Cousins was like, hey, bring in Darnell Mooney. Like, I like what I've seen from that guy the two times a year that we've played. Did Darnell Mooney have an outlier day versus Minnesota within the last couple years? Maybe. Because that is some aged QB shit to do, including what we saw last year with Aaron Rodgers and Dalvin Cook. It's like, oh, I've seen this guy play, man. I've played against him a lot. He's a competitor. We got to get him in. And then they bring him in and it's like, oh, wait, what? He's actually not good? You mean he was only good in a small sample size and that's why I thought he was good? Oh, you mean I should have watched the other 16 games to see how not good he was against every other team? Oh, oops. Claypool over Mooney. That's tough. At least Mooney can get downfield, but Claypool's apex was better. I'll give you that. Thoughts or takes on Emmanuel Wilson? Mostly dead. He is probably change of pace back at best for when Josh Jacobs wants to sit. Jacobs is going to get he's going to get the work. So I don't think Wilson was ever a big Wilson guy, but I thought there was a shot if they just didn't add anybody and brought Jones back, maybe he can get there. I guess the plus side would be that he's probably a better pass catcher than Josh Jacobs, though at this point, Jacobs is a better pass catcher than he is a rusher. So I don't see much for Wilson, but I'm also not a big Wilson guy as my priors. Johnny Wilson getting any steam in these drafts lately? No, because he's like the one player people don't want to take because they think he's going to be a tight end, even though he doesn't want to play tight end. But we'll see. Not a lot of track record for guys being 6'7 and good at wide receiver in the pros. But Johnny Wilson was good at FSU, tested well at the combine. Obviously, relative guys that size, a great athletic score. So we will see for him. I wouldn't hate it. Yeah, I mean, the deal they gave to Josh Jacobs is like pure bell cow deal. And obviously that's Jacobs' value, is that he can take all the touches. He's not going to kill you on any of them. But, you know, he's just not as good as other guys. And for them, I don't know they need him to be as good as other guys. They just need him to kind of be, you know, functional in a Jordan Love offense and to take the pressure off Jordan Love. And I think he can do that. And he's going to block well. He's going to pass protect pretty well. All right, 3672 here. I don't know if this is a good move or a bad move to take Tucker Kraft here. I still think Davis Allen is a good pick. He was a really good pass catcher filling in for Higbee last year, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with Davis Allen here. For the sake of the numbers, again, Davis Allen last year, small sample size, only played a couple games when Higbee got hurt, but 0.77 EPA per target, 17% target per hour run rate. He was involved. He was involved, honestly, more than Higbee was. I think Allen, to me, out of all the guys who kind of came on late that people just didn't pay enough attention to, Allen was the one who I was probably the most impressed by that I just had no priors on. Really like Davis Allen. Jacob's nuclear season incoming. I think that's very much possible. And he doesn't, like, the thing is, he really doesn't even have to be that good. He just has to get the volume. Does AZ Perry do anything for me? Yeah, he was one of the most efficient receivers in football last year in terms of EPA. Things are going to get better for him with no Michael Thomas. Obviously, he does have big target earners alongside him. Chris Olave, big target earner. Certainly, Rashid Shaheed, a downfield target, takes some away. But Perry at pick 226, like, he's probably getting all the snaps. Ben Sinnott goes, obviously, I took Allen over him, so I can't be mad about that. But Ben Sinnott, the rookie that I'm comfortable with. And Gesicki here, going to the Bengals, not a bad pick at pick 231. All right, what helps you the most here? Like, I don't think I need a wide receiver 8. RB7 could be okay, but like, what are we even doing at RB7 at this point? Eric Gray, less value now with Singletary coming in. I think I'm just going to close the loop on Green Bay tight end and just hope I can get some tight end spike weeks from Jordan Love. Final team here, Jared Goff, Drake May, Daniel Jones, Kenneth Walker, Tony Pollard, Austin Eckler, Javonte Williams, Khalil Herbert, and Justice Hill at running back. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Nico Collins, Malik Nabers, T. Higgins, Brian Thomas Jr., Wandale Robinson, Jalen Hyatt, wide receiver, the tight end, Luke Musgrave, Michael Mayer, Davis Allen, and Tucker Kraft. Started it late, so we went with 4 there. I'm the guy with the Rams mega sack. He just sniped Allen. Well, take Colby Parkinson. he's gonna be their Josh Oliver, so that's going to pay off. Like I said, everyone, show Spags the channel some love. Yes, here, I take the slings and arrows from randoms and weirdos every day in the name of drafts here for you guys. So please do subscribe down below. Please hit that like button. Please leave a comment. Do I need to let Chunk go? I don't care about Chunk's last pick. Sorry, Chunk. Please subscribe down below. Hit the like button. Again, Splash Play Drafts, Monday to Friday at 11 a.m. And we do it here the best we can. Best info, best data, combining it all. And I'm not afraid to say shit you don't want to hear. Like, that is a promise. The numbers I look at are the truth source, even for guys like Al Paul, one of our regulars, who's very good at college football. I have to tell you what I see. And that's what the thing is here. If you want to still go and go nuts for Darnell Mooney, like the Falcons did, then more power to you. But like, this should be a channel where you can't get fucking mad and act like and throw a bitch fit because I don't like Darnell Mooney. Like, please don't make that my daily life. But please do subscribe down below. Please hit the like button. Underdog, again, promo code Splash on there. Double your deposit to $100. Stochastic, NBA was a lot of fun yesterday, even though the chalk, oh my God, Javon Freeman Liberty, the most WNBA name ever, kills 40% of lineups yesterday. That was awful, but the tools and data on Stochastic are great. So get 15% off with the promo code Splash on there. Probably my, oh, subscribe again. Probably my baby. Results were probably real fast just because, like, This is the most insane run I think I've seen of any betting content creator that I've ever followed. It's me. It's probably our data's crushing it. And that includes me blowing almost 3 units on Parlay Saturday a couple weeks ago. But Probably's data doing a good job. Get it for yourself at probably.com/subscribe or get 50% off with the promo code SPLASH or get a 7-day free trial on the App Store. And I'll link the description down below. And don't forget, leave your rating and a review if you want to get a guest hosting spot on Splash Play, because I'm doing that giveaway on Friday on stream. So only a couple entries in right now. So if you want to get your shot, it's going to be the 15th or the midpoint of every month. I'm going to do the giveaway for a guest hosting spot. So coming up on Friday will be that one. Join button. If you are one of the people out there who enjoyed this stream, hit the join button. Great way to support this show. Again, I do this every day. I treat it like a job, or it's one of the two jobs I have. And that's what we do here every day. But these fine folks help me put on the show. You too can do that by hitting the join button down below for $4.99 a month. And you'll get my SPAGs rankings coming up, which are really more, they're going to be practical rankings for Underdog that you can paste in. But also they're going to be like a text product. You can read blurbs about every player, see the EPA metrics that I cite, get your head around it the way that I view it, and then do what you want to do. That's always the game here. Shout out to the chat. I see 20. God, what did something else happen here? I see 22 chats, but appreciate all you guys being here. I even when guys are assholes, I do appreciate the enthusiasm. So if you have fun with fantasy football, we do it here year round, and we're going to do it again tomorrow at 11 a.m. So I'll see you guys then. Enjoy your days. Good luck. Bye.